Okay, I think I'm ready. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the James Whale Radio Show. You wonder what I was doing with that noise. I was just exercising my throat. La 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 la. Because I have decided, Robbo, that maybe we should write an opera.
It's quite easy to write an opera, isn't it?
I don't know. I've never done it, but I thought you'd write it and I will star in it.
You've just got to put loads of la la la's in, haven't you?
Yeah, James Whale, the opera.
All right, so it's an opera about you then, not with you.
Yeah,
singing.
Oh, yeah, well, of course, yes. James Whale, the opera. I can see it now.
On the West End.
Yeah, of course. Was it Jerry Springer, the opera?
Oh, yeah, there was, wasn't there?
Yeah, of course there was. It upset a few people. But we'd upset even more. James Whale, the opera.
Are you sure it was an opera, the Jerry Springer one? Wasn't it like a stage show? Musical. That's more
was it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It was called Jerry Springer the Opera. So I thought, la 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 la, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Turn on your radio now. Let's all join in. Pick up your phone and give me a call now.
Amazing.
I think it's got legs.
Whales don't have legs.
No, they don't have. Oh, we're going to talk to the whale man later.
Oh, yes, the whale man.
Yeah, we're going to talk to the whale man. Fascinating character. That is later on in the show. So anyway, here we are, another show. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. And no opera today. Sadly, no opera today. Anybody wants to write one, feel free. Send the manuscript in and we'll purloin it and do it.
Purloin it.
I was earlier on today, I was interviewing Bobby George, the darts player.
Right, I know him well.
And I should hope so. And he's a legend. And he and I had a bit of a game of darts.
Did you?
Something I'm doing for the BBC. And yeah, went to his house. He's got a house out in Essex, 18 bedrooms.
And a dartboard in every one.
Well, no, he's got downstairs, he's got his own kind of social club built into the house.
Right.
And we had a game of darts there. No, he's a great character. I've been watching him recently in the Real Marigold Hotel, which is where a bunch of elderly pensioner celebrities went to see if they could retire to India.
So it's based on the film then?
Yeah. Actually, what I want to think about it, why don't I get him to come on the program? Yeah, I think I'll do that. Yeah, so I won't tell you anymore. I'll wait until I can get him to come on. What a good idea.
We're going to have a game of darts.
Yeah, in the meantime, I'm going to tweet a picture of him and me out later on. So anyway, thank you to those people for joining us from all over the world, of course. Australia, New Zealand, Belgium, France.
Yeah.
Italy, Spain, Portugal. We've got listeners in Portugal. Most of the United States and Canada.
I don't think we've got anyone in Patagonia.
Well, that's a shame.
They can always let
us
know.
What can we say to get the people in Patagonia coming on? Borada!
Yeah, they're all Welsh over there, aren't they?
Well, no, they all speak. I'm not sure why. Is it because the Welsh miners went over there and then Welsh became a much spoken language in Patagonia?
I think so. I'm just agreeing.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
You keep speaking over me, you see. That's the problem.
Yeah, I'm gonna stop speaking now.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of our listeners would be very happy if you did that. We've had a letter. It came flooding into the offices of the James Whale Radio Show, .co.uk. Check out the website. From a listener in Oman, I think, wasn't it?
I've got Dubai. Is Oman in Dubai?
Yeah, you're right. He says, I am Neil Fisher, living in Dubai for 25 years. Enjoy listening to your podcast program on my drives to Oman. Like most of the politicians in the UK, unlike most of the politicians in the UK, I have been to Lebanon and Syria. Well, actually, Neil, if you have, I'd be fascinated in interviewing you. So maybe you'll send us a phone number. We could talk to you.
Why not? Yeah, that's a good idea.
And he sent, he said, please could James answer the following questions on air in rapid fire fashion.
Okay.
So, and what's the question? If I was president.
Right. I've got some questions. You want me to ask them to you?
Do you want to ask them to me?
Okay. I'll try them rapid fire as long as I can read them.
Well, that's what I thought. I mean, because your reading is sort of, I suppose, stage five of junior school.
That's a bit advanced for me, if I'm being honest. Okay.
Yeah.
The question
one. Yeah, I think
one,
you might be right. Go on.
What would be the first person you would hire? Sorry, who would be the first person you would hire? See, I've fell at the first hurdle.
Yeah, you've it already, haven't you, really? You better bleep that, didn't you? Yeah. Who would be the first person I'd hire if I was president? Who would be the first person I'd hire? I think Boris Johnson.
Why not? Bit of comedy.
Yeah, somebody just to amuse me and who probably knows how to organise stuff. Yeah.
Well, that answers question two, really. Which comedian would you entertain your staff with at the inauguration ball? I got that word right.
Yeah, Peter Kay.
Peter Kay. Who would be your guest of honour at your inauguration dinner?
Who did I have? I had Boris, didn't I?
Yeah.
Well, in that case, I better have Jeremy Corbyn as the guest of honour.
Okay. Who would you schedule your first meeting with?
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Now, that's a good one. I suppose it would have to be with a number of people. Have to be the Prime Minister or Presidents of Russia, China and America.
Which government department would you rename?
I would probably get rid of most of the government departments and rename all of them. The first one, I'd probably rename the Home Office as, I'd probably call it something like Office of the Home Office doesn't seem to say very much, does it? It's a bit cozy. Office for the Population. I don't know what I'd call it. But anyway, I think I'll probably rename them all, something a little more modern.
Okay. Who would be your vice president?
Shall I do the questions as well as the answers? Because you're not reading is not your strong point, is it?
Well, no, not really.
I don't sound so. Who would be my? I'll put you in as vice president then. That'll cheer you
up.
Yeah,
as long as I don't have to do any speeches where I have to read auto cues.
No, you just have to write mine for me.
Okay. Which country would you visit first?
Oh, probably the closest. I'd probably go to France first, work out from there.
Right.
Because I probably would join England and Britain and, Britain and France together. Because I am, obviously, if I am president, I will be working towards being president of the world. Being president of the just one country isn't good enough. The only way for world peace is for one boss of the whole world, isn't it?
That's true. We could drain the channel.
Well, you never know. I mean, if the next ice age happens fairly soon, we'll be able to walk across anyway.
Or skate.
Yeah, yeah.
What food theme would you integrate into your inauguration dinner? They're trying to catch me out with this word.
Inauguration is a good word, isn't it? Now, it would obviously be curry.
Curry, okay.
Yeah. Big tandoori oven in the middle, and there'd be lots of chicken tikka and lots of spicy food, yeah.
Which previous president would you most like to imitate in your policies and methods?
President, I don't know. I don't think there is anybody I want to imitate. I would have to start anew.
Okay. And finally, what action would you take to curb the population growth?
What action would I take to curb the population growth? It's a very good question, that, Neil.
I can help you out.
I beg your pardon?
I could help you out.
Well, yes. Well, you could have the snip, I suppose.
No, with a solution.
Oh, what's the solution?
Make everyone marry someone who's ugly.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've heard you say. Anything I say could be misconstrued. You know, I used to have a joke when I used to say, yeah, well, you'd have to apply for a license to have a child. There'd be none of this having children willy-nilly all over the place. Before you have a child, you have to prove that you are a fit and proper person to bring one into the world.
Can we say willy on the radio?
Why? What do you mean?
I'm just saying, can we say willy on the radio?
And when did I say willy?
You said willy-nilly.
Oh, willy-nilly?
Yeah.
Well, why can't you say willy? I mean, what all those people listening call willy?
Well, I don't know what the rules and regulations are, right?
You'll be telling me, what is this with names? You know, somebody the other day said you can't say Fanny on the radio.
I don't think you can say Fanny on the radio, can you?
Well, I'd like you to explain to my Auntie Fanny why her name can't be mentioned.
We could get her on as a guest.
Are you laughing at my Auntie Fanny?
there's a funny looking bird just walking past the window of the studio. That's what I'm laughing
really?
At. Yes, yeah. It's nothing to do with
Well, because if you are laughing at my Auntie Fanny, I will get Uncle Willie to give you a good talking to.
Okay, I'm not bothering to beep any of this out. If you don't like Fanny or Willie, listen to something else.
What is wrong with you?
Oh, you've set me off now.
I mean, for goodness sake. Oh, you're childish to the nth degree. Now, apologise to Uncle Willie and Auntie Fanny for just being...
I'm sorry, Uncle Willie and Auntie Fanny, if I've offended you.
I should flipping well hope so. Play a jingle.
You are listening to James and Rob on the James Webb Radio Show.
Right. Have you managed to control yourself now?
Oh, yes. I'm back to normal now. Well, as normal as I can be.
Good, good. Right. Thank you to all the people, of course, who are going in our shop and buying loads of stuff, of course. And a few people have got in touch. We're in the midst of getting together a pilot for a late night television program. And as I think we said last week, if you'd like to be involved in some way, get in touch. Email us jamesworldradio@gmail.com.
We keep getting asked for signed photos of you.
How ridiculous.
Well, I'm just thinking.
Did you take one?
No, but we can add. Can we add one to the shop?
Why don't we add one to the shop? Okay.
Yeah.
Get one that way. Yeah. Okay. Go to our shop. The shop on our website, jamesworldradio.co.uk. And you can find out how to get photographs and baseball caps and T-shirts and all sorts of stuff.
Right.
Which of course, when you purchase them, helps to keep this program on the air.
Oh, now you mention that, you know, my normal payment method is Mars bars.
Say that again.
You know, my normal payment method is Mars bars.
Well, yes, I was going to move it up to Twix, but yes, okay.
Well, can I have Jelly Tots instead?
Why?
Because I can share them out and I can pay other people.
Oh, now that's a good idea. Or I can get you those miniature Mars bars. You know the ones in the big tubs, you can get lots of small ones.
Yeah, but nobody seems to like those.
Don't they?
No.
Okay, right. I'll talk to the accounts department and make sure that you're moved on to a Jelly Tots contract as soon as possible.
That's perfect. Thank you very much.
That's all right. Don't mention it. All the hard work you do, you need at least some kind of encouragement, and Jelly Tots will be the way to go. Absolutely. Now let's talk about whales, because recently there in this country been a spate of whales breaching themselves. On the North Sea coast, in fact, all along the eastern side of the country, there have been a number of whales doing that. Somebody who's very interested, a guy called Napier Martin, who joins me now. Napier, hello.
Good afternoon, James.
Napier, first of all, before we talk about the whales and what they're doing and why they might be doing that, tell me a bit about you and how you came to be so interested in this.
It's quite a long story, James. I will do my very best to keep it short. I was living my life perfectly quietly and calmly in Dorset in England, and I just had this calling that I had to go to Australia. And after procrastinating for some months, feeling like it would be a hard thing to do, to just up sticks and go. I did finally go. And I found myself standing on the cliffs of the Nullarbor Plain in South Australia with a group of Aborigines who come from that part of the world and whose, I think, totem would probably be the best word, is the southern right whale. And had my eyes opened to things that otherwise would never have come my way.
When you say you had to get up and go to Australia, was that just a feeling that came on you, or did somebody invite you? What happened?
It was actually, it sounds crazy, and I have been called such before, but it was a voice in my head. And it was very insistent. It was very frequent. It in fact told me I had to shave my head and go to Australia. So I did, and I went. And the first Aboriginal gentleman I met, whose name was Ted Roberts, he came forward, he extended his hand to me, and he said, I'm so pleased you made it. We've been waiting for you for thousands of years. And it was the voice that had been telling me to shave my head and come to Australia.
Fascinating story, Napier. When you got to Australia, how did you meet this? I mean, when you got there, were you going to meet anybody? What was your plan? Or were you just going to Australia, get off the plane and see what would happen?
It's very hard to explain. I mean, it is quite a long time ago. So the exact chronology of it has slightly faded into the mists of time. But it really was mostly on a wing and a prayer. There was a loose structure around the fact that a colleague of mine had heard of these particular tribe who are called the Mirning, that's M-I-R-N-I-N-G, Mirning, who, shall I expand on their story a little bit? It is relevant.
Yes, please.
Well, their land is on what's called the Nullarbor Plain, which is the land that goes down to the head of the Great Australian Bight, that huge piece of the Southern Ocean that goes across the south coast of Australia. And right at the most northern point, their land extends around there. And in 1956, I believe, they were declared as being extinct. And the reason this happened was because the Americans and the British wanted to let off atomic bombs at a place called Maralinga. And obviously the tribes people that lived at Maralinga could not be at ground zero. So they conveniently declared the Mirning extinct, having carried out a pretty steady process of what can only be described, and I use their own word here, as genocide, so that the Maralinga Pitjantjatjara people could be imposed on Mirning land. So the Mirning's connection to their southern right whale totems, with whom they have this remarkable and intimate, was broken. And so the story that I went to hear about was how these people had been almost destroyed, actually. So that was really the lead. And that calling was coming from somebody, from an Aboriginal who's closely associated with the Mirning.
Why is it you that had to go there? Why were you the being that they've been waiting for a thousand years? This is almost like some kind of deity. Are you some kind of deity, Napier?
Good grief, no. I simply cannot answer that question. What I can tell you is that it has driven me now for 20 years, just over 20 years. It's taken me a long time to adjust to how I felt after the things that happened down there. To really get my head and my energy around it. I mean, I've put off things like getting this album out and the associated book and all the other things. You know, I've just procrastinated for a very long time. And I'm anything but a deity. I'm a very flawed human being with a touch of madness.
Okay, let's jump forward a little bit. So you had this experience in in Australia that made you realize that there is something special about whales and dolphins. What is it that is so special about these animals?
Well, the first thing I think is that they've been here for a very long time, something like 55 million years, with very developed brains. And if we allow ourselves to think they have that massive power of thought that we have, the ability to self-realize, the ability to evolve, then what we're looking at are great beings who inhabit the greater part of this earth. I think, therefore, they have great wisdom. They have great stories to tell. They understand part of our earth that we have. I think we know more about, I think somebody said we know more about space than we know about the deep ocean. And so they have been, you know, the great beings and, shall we say, representatives of our creator or creation, however way you want to look at it, for a very, very long time.
Do you think there was more of a relationship between human and whale? What are they called?
Cetaceans.
Cetaceans. Is there more of a relationship between us and them? Was there in the past than there is now?
I'm not an anthropologist, but what I can say is that there are many First Nation people still intact around the world who have long relationships with cetaceans, yes.
Are you is your 9-to-5 occupation or whatever is it a musician? What is it that you actually do, Napier?
I really couldn't tell you. I mean, I'm fairly pretty much a man of leisure at the moment. For the last 12 years, I've been a tree surgeon, and I have had Lyme disease, which I've just got over and managed to get out of my system, which stopped all that and has made me focus back on the job in hand, which is to tell the fabulous story of the Merning and hopefully many of the other people who still quietly live around the coastlines of the continents and continue this long tradition. And may I say that this is now very much in the modern age, because there are many, many people in the West and from, should we call it, the developed world, who also have a very powerful and close relationship with cetaceans. They are touching the hearts of many, many people, as can be seen by those who protest against their ill treatment, those who surf with them, those who want to go in the water with them, and engage with them. So it's a modern phenomenon as much as it is an ancient one, and I think that's very important. They engage us. We want to be with them. And in the same way, they want to be with us. They're very curious. They're very forgiving, obviously, when you look back at our history with them. And these interactions are going on daily all around the world.
You say you're just getting over Lyme's disease, which is a terrible thing, and can be caught from ticks when in woodland and long grass, I suppose. And are you going back to being a tree surgeon or not?
No. I'm dedicating however long it takes now to enjoy telling the story of how cetaceans have woven themselves through man's life ever since we started walking the earth.
And the other interesting bit that people are talking about, as far as you are concerned, Napier, is that you turned your back on a family fortune of something like over £100 million. Is that right?
I turned away from an inheritance rather than a fortune. I turned away from land and a life of being a full-time landowner and farmer. Yes.
Well, you could have sold the lot, and think what you could have done with the money, Napier.
not within my remit to make that decision, James.
Okay. Let's talk. I mentioned at the beginning, let's talk about these whales that have been killing themselves on the east coast of our country. It happens quite regularly, but not quite to the extent that it's happened this year. Why?
Well, it's more than just our North Sea coast. It's been happening in Denmark, Belgium, I believe, into the Baltic as well. I'm not quite sure about that, but they've been doing it regularly now over the past month or so on many coasts of the North Sea. And my guess is that there's been a lot of naval activity, and this new form of sonar that's being used to detect submarines is so powerful it drives them insane. In fact, there's a piece of footage that came out recently of this happening. I believe it's in the States, and they've got the picture of the film of the naval ship in the background and the whales trying to get out of the water. They've obviously got a hydrophone underwater, and they can hear the sonar going off. And to give you an idea, if you stand underneath Concord when it took off, I believe it was around 125 decibels. And this this weapon is being used at approximately 130 to 135 decibels, I believe. So as a decibel is an exponential figure of measurement, this is an extremely loud noise affecting the creature whose hearing and own need to be able to detect its own acoustic environment is highly damaging.
And are the government, do you think, aware of this or not?
I'm sure they're aware of it. There's been legislation passed in the state to protect cetaceans around the Hawaiian Islands, where they're used to test a lot. But, you know, weaponry takes precedence over anything in this world.
How many whales and dolphins do you think there are left in our oceans?
Good gracious. I can tell you the estimates of how many are disappearing every year. I understand that of the great pelagic whales the toothed whales and the baleen whales, their numbers are steadily increasing since the end of whaling. However, it's estimated that in European bycatch alone, we are taking somewhere around 100,000 dolphins and small whales out of the water every year.
Dear, oh dear, oh dear. Finally, Napier, you've produced some music, haven't you, that's helping you to raise awareness and money for your projects. Tell me about that.
Well, that comes out of the stories that I heard when I was travelling, and I met quite a number of First Nation people who have cetaceans in their, well, in the Aboriginal term, they would say, you know, it's the dreaming. They're part of the whole fabric of their life. So some of these stories, for example, are from the Bible. So in Genesis, apart from man, the whale in earlier versions of the Bible is the only animal that is specifically mentioned as being created on the fifth day. And then, of course, Leviathan comes into Job. There are wonderful creation stories, for example, of the Merning, who have this beautiful story of how they were born of a mythical whale. So I've picked some of these stories, and they're written in the booklet, and the music is just a kind of accompaniment to the story. There's no narration or any particular musical connection to it. It's just some you know, funky, dancey, trancey, ambient stuff to enjoy while driving or to have a dance to. But behind it, there is a story to do with the older stories of dolphins and whales, yes.
Well, let's have a little listen to that. In the meantime, Napier, we'll put up all the contact details and how people can find out more about what you're doing. And I'd like to thank you very much indeed for sharing this time with us.
Well, thank you very much. And perhaps speak to you again sometime.
I'm sure we will, Napier. The music from The Sounding, and this track, it's called Are You Listening? Are you listening? there we are. That was The Sounding. And my thanks to Napier. Strange name, that, isn't it? Napier Martin. And that track called Are You Listening? Took me back to the 80s, that.
Really? Techno.
Techno.
Techno, dance music.
Yeah. How long is that track? Around 6 minutes
about
long?
6 minutes. We couldn't play all of it, obviously, but yeah, it's about 6 minutes long.
Yeah. So if you want to find out more about them, thesounding.co.uk, and go on our website, jameswellradio.co.uk, and you can find out more about Napier Martin. He could have inherited, I was reading about him, and he was obviously, he's fairly sort of shy, if you like, about what he could have inherited this estate worth well over £100 million. But he decided he didn't want to do that. He wanted to carry on doing what he's doing. Just very fancy getting those sort of voices in your head being told you've got to go somewhere, the other side of the world, turning up, and some bloke comes up and says, "We've been waiting for you for over 1,000 years.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, very, very interesting. Right, because I'm all things spooky now, we put out on Facebook, and from time to time we muse about all sorts of things on Facebook, as everybody knows. If you knew the end of the world was coming, and it was going to come in the next week or so, I was feeling a bit depressed when I asked that question, just because of, you know, every time you look at the news, every time you see the news now, you think there are scenes coming out of the Middle East as if it is the end of the world, aren't there? You know, it's as if we're trying to destroy. I'm not a religious person, but ever since religions, you know, there used to be religions from everywhere, whether it was you believed in Wicca or you believed in the goddess of the whatever, or whether you believed, and, you know, the whale was the great deity. There were many, many unusual and spiritual identities around the world. People had all sorts of things that they believed in. And we all, in our own private thoughts, have things we believe in. But ever since these main religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all emanate from the Middle East, it doesn't seem that there has ever been peace in that part of the world, does it? You know, and I don't know. I draw your own conclusions, but golly gosh, anyway. And you know, human beings, I don't believe in any of that stuff, so it's okay for me to say this, but some people are so vehemently, absolutely sure that their religion is real, and that at the end of their physical life, they will go to a place, you know, whatever paradise is or heaven is to each of these, they'll go there and they will live for eternity. I think when you get to the end of your life, what you want is a long sleep, isn't it? Most people, towards the end of their times that I've observed, say, "I've had enough now and I'm quite happy to be just, you know, let me close my eyes, I've had enough," and go to sleep. But younger people get, you know, completely caught up in this, so much so they're prepared to go out, whether you're a Christian, a Muslim, a Jew, whatever, you're prepared to go out in the name of your religion and do some of the most appalling things ever. And of course, all the religions will say, "No, well, it's got nothing to do with us. No, we're not like that. We're a religion of peace." Well, I keep looking for it, and I find it difficult to see, but there we are. So I was feeling quite depressed. I said, what would you do, just to amuse myself, really? Apart from the obvious, which we all think we'd be doing like bunny rabbits, don't we?
What's that?
Well, you know, shag.
is that a word I have to beep out?
Shagging.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what, but apart from that, Bob Atkins says, we try to work out what the obvious is. Yeah. Okay. Dave Benjamin said, I'd catch up with the James Whale Radio Show episodes that I haven't yet listened to. Good idea. Of course, there are over 100. Could take you over a week to listen to this.
Yeah.
Jane Newbold says, listen to Jeff Wayne's War of the Worlds, obviously. Yeah. What a good piece of music to listen to. David Graham Bray says, suddenly I would get religion. Yeah. Jez Lonsdale says, the world will end. I know. Well, that's a short. Yeah, it will. Michael says, burn my parking fine, feel smug, and then park on double yellow lines out of spite. That's not very nice, is it? Carla says, I'd rub myself in anti-hell fire cream. I didn't know you could get anti-hell fire cream. Where did you get that from?
Boots.
All right. Pauline says, put the cat out. No, 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 Pauline. Give the cat lots of cuddles. Put it out. No. Elaine is going to go and spend loads of money and not save her council tax. Ruth Baker says, put my makeup on, dress up. I want to die looking good. I like that. That's a good one. Alan Goodfellow said, I just spend the day blaming the Tories for it. there's loads of great ones here. Paul Thomas, gun up the woods and shoot my bow and arrows. I think I'd join you. Chris Collier says, go to the pub and ask for a slate. And Wendy McElroy wants to meet me. That's a very wise thing, Wendy. Sue Ann says, get as many dogs as possible out of rescue. These are all, I'd join you all on this. Jason Williams says, listen to the whale with six cans of Stella Artois. Whilst Jonathan Cooper's going to ditch the diet, Steve Kenton, take out a payday loan, sit back, relax, knowing that even at an interest rate of 9,764%, they can whistle for their repayment. There are loads more. Thank you very much indeed. What would you do, Robbo?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I think I'll just sit at home and look out my window.
That's what you do most of the time. Sit at home, look out the window. You waste your life. Do you know that?
Well, normally when I look out the window when I'm at home, it's dark.
Is it?
Mm.
Oh, well, never mind. You live in Wales, don't you? You probably already... Well, no, I better not say that. The Welsh get so touchy when you're rude about the Welsh.
I went abroad this week.
Oh, yeah, well, we're going to talk about that. You've got a new car, haven't you?
Yes.
How old is the new car you bought?
The same age as the old car.
16 years?
Yeah, you see, my old car had a bit of a rattle. Well, it was like running over 30 people on the motorway. The car just shook violently, so I took it to the sort of my mechanic. And he said, oh, there's a problem with the gearbox. It only happens when you do a certain thing in the car, which is right. He says, it's not worth doing. It's 16 years old. Get yourself a new car. So on the way home, it rattled, rattled, rattled. And it shook all the fuses out the fuse box. So I'm driving down the dual carriageway with no indicators. I can't put the hazards on. I can't open the electric windows to put my arm out to indicate. And the airbag light flashing on and off, me thinking it's just going to explode any minute now. Anyway, I managed to get home. And then my exhaust fell off.
Don't you keep your car serviced?
No.
Well, you should. I mean, having a car that old should be... You just admitted to breaking about five laws. You do realise they'll be knocking on your door, wanting to know whether or not you are in.
Well, there was nothing else I could do, was there? I mean, I couldn't do anything.
Well, I hope you've done something now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got my passport and I went to Bolton. Yeah.
You went to Bolton?
Yes.
Why would you go to Bolton?
Well, I thought, I like my old car so much, I thought I'd go and buy exactly the same one.
Another 16-year-old car?
Yes.
Why would you do that?
It's just a nice car.
So you drove from Anglesey...
Yep.
...across the Menai Straits...
Oh, well done, yeah.
Well, I'm Welsh, aren't I? So I know it. Came through Bangor, and then you bypass Liverpool, get onto the, what, M62?
Yep, the M62, yep.
Yeah. Is this in the car that doesn't work, by the way?
No. This is in my wife's car.
Oh, so your wife drove you?
Yes.
All the way to Bolton?
Yes. I had to drive back, obviously, in a new car.
Well, obviously, you know... Could you not? Why did you have to drag your wife all the way over there?
Well, how was I going to get there?
Oh, I don't know. So anyway, you get to Bolton, you find the address.
Yeah.
And you're buying this off just a punter, are you?
No, off a garage.
Oh, off a garage. And yeah. Insurance or, you know, it might already have fallen apart. I don't know.
Well, there's no warranty with it. It was sold as seen.
Yeah.
And I had to phone the insurance while I was there, obviously.
That was what's funny. It like to drive?
Oh, it's lovely. Let me tell you about the insurance, though.
Yeah.
I phoned the insurance and said, I'd like to change my car. And obviously the comedy ensued straight away when I said, I'm changing for the same car, same age, etc. The only thing that was different was the colour. And She said, it's coming back up as a £1.80 charge because it's a slightly higher performance car.
A £1.80?
Yes.
Is that all your insurance costs you, £1.80?
£1.80, yeah.
Or is that £1.80 more?
£1.80 more.
Well, please try and be a little more precise. There are people listening now thinking you're getting insurance for £1.80.
Oh, I got insurance on my other car for £20 for a month. Does that help?
Not really, no. So £21.80.
Yeah, it cost me in total.
Yeah. And is that just third party? I mean, it wouldn't be worth.
No, it's fully doing fully comp.
It's fully comp.
It's more expensive to get third part than it is to get fully comp.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. How does that work out?
I have no idea, but it is. Check it out yourself. It is genuinely more expensive.
Okay, well, Mrs. W does that sort of stuff for me. So if you don't say you're a broadcaster, do you?
Oh, no. You don't do that,
do you? No. Well, because you are a broadcaster, that'll put up your premiums.
Oh, no. I'm just self-employed.
Yeah. Yeah, I've tried that one, and they wouldn't allow it.
I don't broadcast anything. This is all fiction.
Yeah, okay. We'll talk about that later. So anyway, you get the car, you drive it from Bolton back.
Yes.
Did you take your wife, the dog, and your daughter?
I took the wife and the daughter.
What about the dog?
Well, I could have taken the dog, but I was out and about travelling to Bolton.
You don't leave your doggy on its own in the house, do you?
It was only 3 hours. It wasn't that long.
Oh, no, I never leave my dogs. Ever. Even though poor old Rocky has passed on, he would always come with us wherever we went, and the other two still do. Anyway, did you have something to eat while you were in Bolton after this trip? You must have stopped for some nourishment.
Well, I went to Pizza Hut. I get 25% off in Pizza Hut, so I went to Pizza Hut.
Yeah, why'd you get 25% off?
Oh, it's just a thing. Don't ask me things like that. I can't divulge that kind of stuff, but yeah.
Are you one of their celebrity customers?
I don't like cheese, so that's quite interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, you went to Pizza Hut in Bolton.
Yes.
Was it nice?
It was actually the best Pizza Hut I've been in.
Do you know, you're making me hungry now. You got the car back? Everything okay?
Everything, apart from a creaky door, which I fixed. Oh, and the radio code. Oh, well, let me tell you about this. Could we do a bit of tech talk?
Well, I was just going to say we're running out of time, so shall we go on to tech talk now?
Okay, if you buy a car...
Hang on. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the James Whale Radio Show, online on your favourite local radio station, and anywhere, on any device that you wish to listen to us on. Now, for your delectation and entertainment, we present with Mr. Rob Oldfield, Tech Talk.
If you buy a new car, or a second-hand car, a new car probably wouldn't apply to. When you switch your radio on, and it's not been used for a while, it comes up and asks you to put the code in.
Well, I put a new battery in my... Well, I didn't. I got a man to do it. Put a new battery in my car the other day, which is the same age as yours, although much nicer car. He said, I'm going to have to find you the codes for your radio. Do you know what they are? So I didn't even know the radio had a code.
Well, there are loads of websites online where you just put your serial number in of your radio, and they within an hour, they just give you the code.
All right. What's the point of all of that, anyway?
I know. And who's going to nick your car stereo? I mean, it's mounted into the dashboard. I mean, that's something of the 80s where you used to steal your radio, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, nobody does that anymore.
Anyway, also, I found a back door. Apparently, all radios have a sequence that you can press that can unlock. There was two buttons I had to press, and I pressed it, unlocked it anyway without putting the code in. So, completely pointless.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But now you've got the car and the stereo.
Yeah.
And is it any better inside? Is there any, anything else about what sort of car is it? We all want to know.
It's a Chrysler Neon.
A Chrysler Neon. An American car.
It's an American car, yeah.
So hasn't it rusted to bits by now?
Well, this one, even though it's 16 years old, it's only done 30,000 miles and it's pristine.
And how much did it cost you?
£1,000.
You are the tightest tightwad I know.
Or, in real money, 27,000 jelly tots.
Well, yes, obviously. So that's your extent of tech talk, is it?
Well, yeah. If you want your car stereo breaking into, just go online. There's loads of websites that'll do it for free for you.
Fantastic. I'm so glad, dear listeners. We waited for that. I mean, it was worth it, wasn't it? Right. I think that's it, isn't it?
Well, I've got some questions for you.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, questions to the whale, and then we're off to the pub.
Where have my questions for the whale gone? Oh, here we go.
Well, I've no idea. I've no idea. You didn't send them to me, so I'm fascinated to know where they are.
Okay. Karen Clift.
Karen Clift.
Mm.
Hello, Karen. Yes.
Will it ever stop raining in Blackpool?
No, I don't think it will. I think if it did stop raining in Blackpool, a lot of the people with the entertainment arcades would be very upset because people would then go and sit on the beach.
Frank Broderwick.
Yes, Frank.
If you knew the world was going to end, apart from the obvious, what would you do?
I'd probably catch up with the movies I hadn't yet seen, or the movies that I've watched halfway through and haven't seen the conclusion of.
Stuart Bailey. I see that Talk Radio is launching on March the 21st. That's a plug at the end of the day, isn't it, really? Your thoughts on speech radio making a comeback, please?
I don't think speech radio has ever gone anywhere. In fact, Stuart, I don't think there is nearly enough speech radio. In fact, when people get to listen to speech radio, I've done speech radio for most of my broadcasting career, although it has to be said quite a lot of the time on radio stations where they play music on other programs. I would always play a record, by the way, and played a bit of music on this show and do play music occasionally. I'd always, if I got stuck for something to say, which is unlikely, I would probably play a record. But yes, there's going to be a new talk radio station launching, and I think that will be good for broadcasting everywhere. And in answer to the other bit of your question that I can read there, who knows?
Carl Goodall, when will that circular treadmill for all those prisons be issued?
Well, that was very, you know, one of my ideas when I worked on talk radio before it became talk sport late in the evening, and we often used to talk about what we could do to improve prisons and things like that. And one of the things that, of course, prisoners get very bored. Very, very bored indeed. And they can go and they can do exercise and work out in the gym, but quite often that's a bit soul-destroying and there's no real reason to do it. Excuse me. So I came up with this idea. It's twofold. It's renewable energy and it keeps prisoners fit. So you have a brake wheel, like a hamster wheel. What do they call those?
A hamster wheel.
You know. Yeah, but big enough for people to walk around in. And this was done in Victorian jails.
Was it?
Yeah, it was done in just to keep, you know, to keep them fit. And the prisoners would walk around these wheels, you know. Treadmill is the name I was looking for. Treadmill.
Yeah.
And you, of course, now you would have this linked into a generator and it would generate power. And if you had prisoners doing a couple of hours each in the treadmill continually, think how much renewable energy you would have.
Enough to power the light bulbs in all the prison cells.
Possibly even enough to power the communities living around the prison.
It's all sounding good to me.
Yeah, I think we ought to do something with this.
Do you think we should go on Dragon's Den and try and pitch it?
Yeah, I think we should. Right, what else?
Daryl Ransom.
Daryl.
I wonder if you could promote my new invention. I have invented a wireless extension lead. Can you give it a plug?
Very good. Next question.
Karen Osland, when are your podcasts and radio shows going to be longer? An hour is just not long enough.
When we make some more money out of them, Karen, I think that's the answer for you. So there is a donate button on our website and for people who wish to donate. And we're looking for ways to fund the podcast as a video podcast in the future as well. So any ideas, gratefully accepted. But Karen, you can't have listened to everything we've done over the past few years, which is still available, can you?
Yeah, I think she has.
Gosh, Karen. And one more. Let's fit one more in before we have to finish.
James Brabin. Do you want to aid me in killing and disposing of the body of the woman who sings I See You Baby Chicken Madras adverts? I'm struggling.
No.
Please help.
No, I like it. I think it's one of my favourite ones, and you shouldn't harbour those thoughts, James. If you need counselling, call us. With that, should we listen to a bit of that techno music to finish off the programme again?
Oh, yes.
And thank Napier Martin very much for coming on. And if you didn't listen to the interview, have another listen, because quite interesting. He got these voices in the head that called him to Australia. When he got there, they said, "We've been waiting for you, sir, for over 1,000 years. It's a bit spooky.
To the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/James Whale Radio Show or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.